continue to pray. Amen. And just continue to ask God for what it is that He's going to be doing. Take your Bibles, if you would, or your phone. I was told this morning that if there are people that are looking at their phone while I'm reading the Scripture, it doesn't mean that they're playing Tetris. It just means that they have Bibles on their phones, and so they're reading. So, thank you, my man. I appreciate you telling me that. I wanted to make sure. Okay, Romans. The book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul. It's the first of his epistles that are shown in the New Testament. It's the sixth book in the New Testament. Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5 is what we're going to be reading. This morning, what I felt impressed to share with you, and here's the title of my sermon. The title of my sermon is, or my talk with you is, I don't like the word sermon so much. Is it all right if I don't use that word a lot? You'll still know that it's still like that, but I just don't want to get locked into that. Here's the title. The election's behind us. Now what? Now what? Now what do we do? And this has nothing to do with whether your man won or lost. It has nothing to do with what party you are. It doesn't have anything to do with your understanding of politics or what you feel or don't feel and what your state of mind is right now because of that. But what I want to look at this morning is, what is our responsibility as the church and as Christians in this time, especially following an election? Well, let's read Romans first, and then we'll go from there. Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear that sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience." Now, there are a number of things in that passage, I think, that are very important for us to understand. And again, whether or not you voted for the man that was elected is not the most important thing. What we need to understand as a church is, regardless of who it is that sits in that office, God still sits on the throne. God is the one that has allowed this to take place. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, so is this something we should be happy about or not happy about? I'm seeing some things. I understand some policies. Those things are not what's most important. What's most important is that God is sovereign over everything. God allows things to occur for His purposes, things that we're not always going to understand. The question for us is, now how do we behave? What do we do? Remnant Life Church, it's about how we live life to determine how is it that we can honor and glorify God. Now, I'm a fan of presidents. I don't mean a president, not a particular president, but I've always been fascinated by the office of president. It probably started for me when I might have been junior high. I wrote a letter to the Vice President of the United States. It was Spiro T. Agnew. How many of you remember Spiro Agnew? Former governor of what state? What state was he the governor of? Maryland. Very good. We have lovely gifts for you before you leave, so thank you for participating. Spiro Agnew was the vice president under Richard Nixon in his first administration. And of course, like so many politicians, he was at some point later convicted of crime and all of that. But I got an autographed picture back from Spiro Agnew. I'd love to know where that is now. I have no idea. It disappeared with my 500 baseball cards that I could be a millionaire today if I still had those. I did not shred those. They were wonderful, and not the picture either. I like autographs and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's what kicked in my interest in politics. Not that I'm a politician or I have any interest in office or those kinds of things, but just that authority of president and of vice president has always fascinated me. So the presidential election in this country, it's probably the single greatest aspect of what we have in democracy, is to be able to elect our leaders. And yet, there is probably nothing that divides the people of this country more than when you talk about elections. I mean, you're encouraged not even really to talk about politics, aren't you? Because what are the things they say you should never talk about? Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about religion. Because of the emotion that it brings. It's a difficult subject. You know, I'm even under some restriction of what I can say from the pulpit and still maintain our status as a church in the eyes of the government. They're very careful about those types of things. And unfortunately, our government has grown to be such a monstrous machine, cascading virtually out of control, and unfortunately has gotten so far away from what it was originally intended to do that, you know, there probably aren't too many men, single men certainly, that can make that much of an impact. I've always heard it said that when a president takes office, really what he's doing is he's managing the things that the administration before him did. And that when you come into the second term, if you're lucky enough or that you're fortunate enough to be voted into that, then you can begin to enact some change. I may have just scared some of you even more now. I don't know. Once again, it just depends on your understanding of that. But I would think, though, that most of us would agree that what is happening in our government today is not what our founding fathers had envisioned 236 years ago when they ratified the Constitution, where the government has become so large that it is not allowing us more freedom, it's actually reducing much of our freedom. And yet God sits on the throne. God is in charge of all things. And so the presidents that get elected, the men that come and go, there are some really good presidents and there have been some really bad presidents. Probably in our own recognition, our own time of remembering, we think of a guy like Richard Nixon, who his unbelievable thirst for power and the corruptness that he allowed to come in because of that. Many people think Nixon might have been one of the worst presidents we ever had. Man like Bill Clinton, who was a consummate politician, but because of his moral failings, it affected everything that he did. And people look at him and think that's not the kind of guy we want to have in the White House. Even a man like Jimmy Carter, a great man of God, a very strong Christian, powerful Baptist roots, led this nation into one of the worst economic times of all of our memories. And yet, each of these men, after they retired, do you remember what it is that happened to them? What did our current presidents begin to do? They began to seek these guys out, began to use them for their wisdom. They suddenly became these great sage men who had this wonderful experience, and all was forgiven because the public has a very short memory. We have very short memories about things. Suddenly, Jimmy Carter is coming and giving all of these presidents advice on how to handle the economics and how to deal with overseas relations, things that when he was in office, people said, this guy has no idea what he's doing. And yet God still sits on the throne. God is still Lord over everything. Was this what God originally intended for us as his people? Was government originally what God wanted for people? The answer to that's no, it wasn't. You say, well, Pastor Dave, how do you know that? Well, if you look through the scriptures, and I want to encourage you to check some of these things out, you'll see, first of all, Exodus, it's the 18th chapter, I believe, is where you see the story of Moses after he's led the children of Israel out. And you find that Moses is sitting from dusk, or rather from dawn until dusk, from the beginning day to the end of the day. And what's he doing? Do you remember this story? He's listening to all the people coming to him with all of their complaints, all their grievances, all these things. He gets no rest. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that are coming to Moses saying, we've got this problem. What are we going to do? We need to know the mind of the Lord. And so Moses sits in judgment of these men and these people and helps them with this until his father-in-law comes. What was his name? A little trivia question here. Do you remember his name? Think Beverly Hillbillies. Thank you, Jethro. Sorry, I knew you'd get that, though, if I threw that out there. His father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him, and he says, Mo, you've got a problem here. He calls him Mo. Moses was his more formal name. He says, Moses, what you're doing is not good. You can read this. What you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. What you need to do is this. You need to take men that you can trust, and you can need to put them over groups of people that they can come to them to have little things taken care of. And then the big things, they can come to you. Moses says, that makes sense to me. That's what I'll do. And so you see some of the first instances there, at least in the scripture, of people that are helping to rule and to govern. But that didn't change who God was. Then you go to the book of Judges. And if you've ever read the account of Judges, it's fascinating to see how God worked through the people during that time. The Judges book is the account of 13 men that over the period of 320, and one woman, and 325 years, they acted as those that were in authority. The reason that they had to be there for those people was because the children of Israel kept walking away from God constantly. God would do wonderful things. God brought them out of Egypt, and so they get settled where they're going to get settled. And the Bible says is that they continued to turn away from God, and they began to worship other gods. And the people of the God that they were worshiping would begin to oppress the Israelites. The Israelites would cry out to God. God would hear their cry, and he would send a judge in order to help free them. You know some of the judges' names. Gideon was a judge, one of my favorite guys. And I think you told me I said this a number of weeks ago. I talked about this guy with long hair and never told you who I was talking about. Samson was a judge, very powerful judge. 25 years he was a judge over the Israelites. Did great things, had a lot of problems. But he still, God worked through him and he did great things. So you have this period of time where God is providing these men and these women to come and to help bring leadership. But they never lost sight of who was the most important, and that was God. Now we come to the time after the judges. And there are 13 of them, although then you have Eli and you have Samuel. They were not strictly judges. They were also prophets that God used. And so in the book of 1 Samuel, you begin to see the account of the people coming, and they began to say something to Samuel that basically went like this. Everybody else has a king. We don't have a king. That was basically what they were saying in that whiny voice. So if you look in your Bible, you can read that with a whiny voice when you do that. Everybody else has a king. We don't have a king. That was basically what they were saying. So Samuel goes to God. And he says, God, I don't like what it is that the people are saying here. Because Samuel understands that only God is going to begin, or is going to be able to lead the children the way that they need to be led. And what does God say to Samuel? And I want you to turn to this for me. 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. Starting in verse 5. 1 Samuel 8, 5. You see, God didn't want the people to leave him. That's what they were doing. God's desire was for us to always look to him using the Ten Commandments that he gave to Moses as a blueprint for what it was that, and the way that he wanted us to live. All right, you there yet? 1 Samuel. Wait, I'm not. Hang on. Okay, 1 Samuel, 8th chapter, starting in the 5th verse. And let's just read this because I want you to hear what it is that Samuel was dealing with this and what the people were doing. And again, what are we asking here? Was this God's intention for us to have governmental rule over us? So here's the 5th verse, starts in the 5th. The people came, or start in the 4th. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old, your sons do not walk in your ways. Now that was part of the problem, is that Samuel's sons were corrupt. They were supposed to be the next leaders after their father, but they couldn't be because they were corrupt. And they said, now, appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, listen, to all the people are saying to you, it is not you they have rejected, watch this, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me, serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now, listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. Now, watch what it is. God even warns them, if you have a king, this is what's going to happen. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons, make them serve with his chariots and horses. They will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, others to plow his ground, reap his harvest, others to make weapons of war, equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards, olive groves, give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and his attendants. Your men servants, your maid servants, the best of your cattle and donkeys, he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, You will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But, amazing, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Is it too difficult to read that and put that into 21st century? I was thinking that when I read that. Very easy to see the parallels of that, of what it is we're dealing with in this world. Now wait, you say, Pastor Dave, how does this work with the verses that we read this morning? We're supposed to still submit to those authorities? Yes, we are. But watch the outcome of what happened to Israel. After Samuel appointed the first king, who was the first king? Saul was the first king. Who was the second king? David. Well, not me, but love that name. And then who was the third king? Solomon was the third king. So you had Saul, David, and Solomon. And those, they reigned for about 120 years or so. God was very present. We know the stories of David and of Solomon. Not perfect men by any means, but they still worship God. And they understood. This was the great thing about David. We'll do a study on David someday. David messed up big time. David's life was like a Jerry Springer show. I mean, it was just nasty. But here's what David knew how to do. He knew how to repent. He knew how to repent before God. But after Solomon, what happened to the kingdom of Israel? What happened to it? It split. It divided. There was division in the house. You had 10 tribes that became the northern kingdoms, and then you had the tribe of Judah, which consisted of Judah and Benjamin as the southern kingdoms. For the next, let me see how long, 219 years, Israel had one bad king right after another. Evil, evil men. Men like Ahab, whose wife was who? Jezebel. The worst king that they ever had. A woman who wanted to kill all of the prophets of God. 219 years, Israel suffered through king after king after king after king that was worse and worse and worse, all because they turned their backs on God as their king and wanted to put a man in place. You say, well, what about Judah and what about Benjamin? Well, they actually, for over 300 years, had reign, and it was only about 80 of those years that they suffered under bad kings. Many of the kings that they had were very godly people. Why? Because Judah never turned their back on God. Never turned their backs on Him. And so those are the things that happened because we removed ourselves from God's headship and wanted to put ourselves under man's headship. Now, before I depress you completely, and that's not my intent, what are our responsibilities? Do we have any way that we can exist today in this culture with a government that is running rampant out of control, that is removing more and more of the rights that Christian churches have, that we are not even afforded, in some cases, some of the very basic rights of free assembly to be able to do things in places and be able to pray without being told you can't do that? Being removed more and more, do we need to be concerned about that? Yes, we do. But how do I live in this time? What are the things that I'm supposed to do so I don't feel like that I'm just under this constant oppression? God, what am I going to do? Things are getting worse and worse. Politicians, people that we're putting our trust in, are being shown to be more and more corrupt every single day. People with virtually no moral compass at all. God, what am I supposed to do? I've got three things I want you to do. And if you take notes, write these down. Or listen to them on the website so that you can know them. Three things that I want us to do. Because we still have responsibilities as the church in these days. Doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican. Doesn't matter if you think it's the worst guy in the world to have in the White House. We still have responsibilities as a church. Here's the first one. We need to pray. You say, no, wait a minute, Pastor Dave. I mean, come on, that's pretty basic, isn't it? Yes, it is, but what happens in those times when things are not going exactly the way that you want them to? You ever get mad at God? You don't have to say yes or no, but you ever get mad at God? I got a little frustrated with God the other day. And He very lovingly smacked me back into place where I belonged. But you ever get frustrated or upset? Things are just not happening the way. Those are the times we need to press more into prayer, more into the presence of God. Now, Hebrews 13 says that we are commanded by the Word to submit to those in authority over us. to submit, certainly to the laws of the land. You need to obey the laws of the land. You can't take things that don't belong to you. That's stealing. Now, not only is that in the word wrong, but also we have that as a law. You need to drive at a certain number of miles per hour. Stop. I'm being pointed at right now. That's just, okay, it's something I deal with. I like to get places where I'm going to go and get there. I know you guys don't deal with that because you obey the law. You don't speed, do you, when you drive? You stay under the speed limit? They're staring at me blankly, which means, no, we don't. So that's how I'm taking that. But we have laws that we need to obey. We don't get to pick and choose the laws that we want to obey. So the Bible says, submit yourselves to the authority. But here's what else the Bible says. It says in 1 Timothy 2, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, you need to pray for those that are in authority over you. So we not only need to obey the laws of the land, but we also need to lift those that are in authority over us to God, asking for Him to intervene. Now, there's only one time when you don't obey the laws of the land, and that's when it's contrary to the Word of God. This is the first authority. Because you do know that coming in the future, that Satan himself is going to begin to put laws into place. When you read in the book of Revelation that there's going to come a time when we're not going to be able to purchase goods unless we have the mark of the beast, either on our forehead or on our wrist. Say, can you do that as a Christian? No, you can't. It's against the Word of God. So we need to be aware of those times. We're not in that yet, but that's why we pray. We ask God to come and to be our mediator in those times, to go before us and to strengthen us. So we need to pray. And can I encourage you, even if you did not vote for the man that's in the White House, you still need to pray for our president. You need to pray blessing over him. You need to pray wisdom for him. You need to pray for God to come and to move into his life in a powerful way that's going to affect everything that he does. Pray for your president. I know that's not easy. If you didn't vote for him, if you're not happy with what happened, we still need to pray for him and lift him up. Second thing I want you to do is to have no fear. Have no fear. Now, I'm not talking about fear that God placed in us in order to protect us. I'm talking about the spirit of fear. And we talked about this before, that there's a difference between those two things. You need to be afraid to go out and run around on Route 15. That's not a smart thing to do. Don't go out and walk in the middle of Carlisle Pike. You should be afraid of getting hit by a truck. That's a good thing. But a spirit of fear is something very different. And one of the things that fear does is it paralyzes us. It keeps us from doing the things that we're supposed to do. It keeps us from praying. It also makes us shy away. It takes us away from being bold of the things of God. Church, there's never been a more important hour for us as God's people to be bold in what He's called us to do. To be firm, to not waver, to not give in, to not just, well, this is okay over here, but, well, this is not such a bad thing over here. No, is it in the Word of God? It's either true or it's not. It's right or it's wrong. A firmness in that. Not wavering, not going back and forth. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, we have not been given a spirit of timidity. You can take that word timidity out and put in the word fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. Those are the things that God wants us to have. One last thing. We need to pray. We need to have no fear. And we need to be a light of hope. We need to be a light of hope. What is your response when someone says to you, so, what'd you think about that election? What's your response? God's still on the throne. But can you be a light in that time? Can you be someone that's going to offer a word of encouragement to people around you? Even if you're not happy with what it is that's going on, even if you think we're moving in a direction that we shouldn't move, can you still be a light knowing who it is that sits on the throne? Let me read you a couple of verses here that I think are important. 1 Peter 3:13 to 15, it says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Catch this now. The Bible doesn't tell us that we're not going to have to deal with difficult times. Being a Christian does not mean that everything's just fine and I have no issues. You see, we pray about some very difficult things here. But you're still blessed even in that time. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. I love this. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect. Gentleness and respect. When we're sharing with people who God is and they don't agree with us or they don't see it the way we do, we can't pull out the holy hammer and start beating on people. The Bible says to do it with gentleness and respect. Again, I don't waver. I don't back away from the truth. But my desire is to see this person come to the understanding of who God is, not feel like they have to defend themselves because I'm beating on them about it. Gentleness and respect. To be a light of hope in a dark time. One last one, Ephesians 5, 8 to 9. Here's what it says. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light. You are light in the Lord. Live as the children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I love that. It says, folks, let me just rephrase this a little bit. If you have the light of God in your life, then live that way. Live like you have the light of God in your life. I understand things are difficult. Very concerned, Paul, for your mother, obviously. Very concerned, Allison, about grandmom. Concerned about people praying for Pete, praying for my father-in-law. We're concerned about these people. So again, being a Christian doesn't mean that we walk around with a grin on our face as if nothing's going wrong. We still deal with those things. But can I live my life knowing that Jesus is the light in a dark time? So folks, we are living in an age right now where you may or may not be happy with what happened on that election on Tuesday. You may be very concerned about the future. You may have a great deal of knowledge about politics and what's going on in the world ahead of us, but God still sits on the throne. You may be very unhappy in your heart and in your mind and think, how can I pray for somebody that I don't believe in? Being obedient to the Word of God, we submit ourselves to authority and we lift them in prayer before God. Don't be afraid. We have nothing to fear. The war is over. We need to fight the battles every single day. We need to encourage each other. We need to pray for one another. But don't let a spirit of fear come in and keep you from doing the things that you should do. And finally, can we all be a light in the places that we go? The world is filled with darkness. The definition of darkness means is that there's no presence of God. There's a lot of darkness in the world. Some of you are going to get up and go to work tomorrow where there is a tremendous amount of darkness. Be a light in that dark place. Amen. My friends, God's got great things in store for us. Not just as a church, and I believe that. We're already seeing some of those things happening. But God's got great things in store for His church, for His bride. We sang about His bride this morning. We are going to be caught up with Him. And the question is, what kind of a bride is He going to be receiving? My heart's desire is that we will be a spotless bride to Him. A bride that's prepared to receive Him. A bride that's ready, that's been watching for all that it is that He wants to do in our lives. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You this morning that You are Lord over all things. That You are God, no matter who it is that has been elected, no matter who the officials are, no matter what we read in the newspapers, the things we see on the news, Father, all of those things are still under Your control. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that You would encourage each and every one of us here this morning. And God, that we will not forget our responsibilities. We need to pray for these men and women. And Father, I do that now again and just ask God that You would come and speak into their lives in a more in-depth way, that their decisions, that the things that they do will be those to glorify You. Father, we will not embrace a spirit of fear. We will not be afraid because You have defeated that spirit. And Father, when fear comes and tries to get into us, when we begin to get concerned and we begin to let our minds go in places that we just should not, Father, I pray that every single one of us here will know who it is that You are, that Scripture will come to our mind, that we will know that You will never leave us or forsake us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from Your love. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place this morning, that we will be a light in a dark place. Father, allow us to speak encouraging words. Allow our demeanor, Father, allow the way that we treat people, even in conversations that have nothing to do with this, may they still see You in us. Father, thank You. Bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters, I pray. And God, in everything that we say and do this week, we give You glory and honor to worship You. It's in Your precious Son's name, our matchless Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Say it with me. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, God bless you this week. Have a wonderful week. Come back next week. Worship with us. Bring somebody with you. And through the course of this week, be thinking, God, how do you want me to bless the people around me? We want to do that with our gift baskets that we're going to be, our food baskets. Did we come up with a name for that? We don't have a name for that. So whatever it is that we're going to call that, say, God, that unnamed thing that the church is now doing, just how do you want us to bless? But let's do that, and let's do that with a heart that just loves to give, because God has blessed us. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you.